Have you wondered if we should really all sleep 8 hours per night? Have you perhaps also wondered how much you actually sleep, particularly when it feels like you didn't sleep much at all? Well, if so, this edition of Herd Online, I think, will be really, really helpful for you. I have a special study, and I've actually hesitated for a long time. And when I say long time, I mean like the last 3 years. I hesitated about sharing this. And the reason I've hesitated is the following, that when we look at the results of the study, someone who's really in an intense struggle may say, "Hey, Daniel, this just cannot be true," and I don't think it is when you're in a very intense struggle. And all what I'm saying now is a little, preamble. It will make sense as we go further. So anyways, what are we looking at here? Well, this is a pretty large study from Pennsylvania, from a Pennsylvania group, and I put together methods here. They basically what they wanted to look at was what's the difference in objective sleep duration from like EEG, like polysomnographic data, and that which we estimate our guess of how much we sleep. So they called 1,741 random adults in Pennsylvania. I think they called like their landline. This is from 2011, and asked if people wanted to, take part in this in a study. 1,300 completed a questionnaire about their sleep, and 724 of those reported no insomnia and no significant sleep problems. And this became the control group. Okay. Now, 142 reported having had insomnia for more than a year, and this became the insomnia group. I think those who reported having insomnia for less were not included. Now, an interesting thing when you look at this study is that 383 were excluded. They were not included because they had poor sleep. And this is, the first time that or actually, this is the time where we're going to jump into the actual article and learn more. So let's start by looking at these 383 individuals that were not included. Why were they not? This was really interesting to me. So we already know that the total number of those in the insomnia group were 142. And here, 303 were excluded because they reported poor sleep as defined above. And how do they define that? Poor sleep was defined as a moderate to severe complaint of difficulty falling asleep, difficulty staying asleep, early final awakening, or unrefreshing sleep. When I read that, I was thinking, to me, that sounds like insomnia. Maybe there was some, specific reasons for some of them, like some objective external reason for this. But when we hear of like it's difficult for me falling asleep, I wake up early. To me, that sounds like insomnia, which then makes the numbers very different, because instead of like 142 who said I have insomnia, if we add like 383 to that, we get a really big number. Then almost half of the study population would have insomnia, which is just worth taking note of. Anyways, let's jump to the kind of the real conclusions here. And before we do, I want to share one thing about this study, which was that they divided everyone, both the controls and insomnia groups, into a long sleeper and a short sleeper group. And the cutoff was 6 hours. So those who were sleeping more than 6 hours objectively, based on the EEG, were in one group, and those who slept less than that were in one group. And now we're going to look at this, how the estimation of these two groups. So in the group that had, that were control groups that didn't have any struggle sleeping, and that also slept more than 6 hours, it's this group, their objective sleep duration was 6.6 hours. So the control group that objectively slept more than 6 hours, their actual sleep was 6.6 hours. Now, looking at the second group, the one that had insomnia and also objectively slept more than 6 hours, how much did they sleep? Well, the number is 6.6 hours, exactly the same. So the long sleeper controls and the long sleeper insomniacs slept exactly the same, objectively speaking, exactly the same. So how about the group that slept less than 6 hours, or those two groups? Well, the control group with a shorter sleep objectively slept 4.8 hours, 4.8 hours. And the insomnia group that slept less than 6 hours objectively slept 4.7 hours. So the difference was one decimal point. Statistically, it is the same. And this sort of was, it was really eye-opening. I mean, it's nothing new. Like, we've seen these type of results many times before. But when you see the numbers like that, it's sort of eye-opening because they are exactly the same. So now let's look at, you know, what we can, the conclusion we can draw from that, and why I had this hesitancy in the past about even sharing these, sharing this study. Well, three conclusions here is that one, clearly this supports, you know, what we also know from many other studies, which is that the 8-hour sleep is a myth. You know, most people actually sleep around 6 hours. And I think that's why they choose this cutoff, because that's sort of average. So if you choose the cutoff of 6 hours, you get some in, some here and some there, right? And that's, I think this is really helpful to know. Now, second conclusion is that when we are not struggling with sleep, when we don't have insomnia, we overestimate how much we sleep, typically by about an hour. When we struggle with sleep, when we have insomnia, we underestimate how much we sleep, typically by about an hour. And now here's the thing, please note, here's the thing I want to share. I believe that this isn't entirely true when you're in that intense struggle. If you've been in this, you know, you are in this moment, or you've been in this stretch where you're like, you feel like I was up the whole night, I was literally up the whole night, then, you know, hearing what I say can make it sound like, hey, Daniel, are you saying that this isn't true at all, that I sleep just as much as everybody else? No, I don't believe this is true in that intense struggle. And I just really wanted you to know that. But I do think, even though in the intense struggle, there is a component of sleep misperception. Often we have guests on this channel who share that, you know, looking back on when the struggle was really intense, they say, I thought I didn't sleep at all, but looking back, I probably slept a little bit. So just want to share that. A third conclusion, insomnia is very common, you know, and we see in this study that they probably had many more people that could have been in the insomnia group than they included there. Now, how can all this be helpful to you? Well, I think firstly, we can see that when we're less pressured to sleep an ideal amount, like 8 hours, that always helps. Anything that makes us less pressure to sleep is so helpful. So I thought that was number one. Number two, oftentimes knowing that when you're having some struggle with sleep, knowing that you're actually sleeping more than you think can be reassuring, because, you know, anything that makes us feel like, oh, this is nothing strange is happening, is really helpful. And point number three is very similar to this one, which is that just knowing that insomnia is not uncommon at all, knowing that you're not alone, that just feels good. It makes us feel like, you know, there's nothing strange with us. We're just another human being on this planet. Now, the final thing here that I want to touch on is, like, why does this happen? A lot of the studies actually, like, pondering and speculation about, like, why do we have this misperception, both when we're not struggling and when we're struggling. Well, I think the reason is that this one, when we are not hyper aroused, when we're in kind of our baseline state of, like, you know, based on emotional state, we don't remember those normal wake-ups that happen to all of us, you know, on an hourly basis. We don't remember that time we woke up and, you know, just kind of scanned the environment and fell back asleep. We don't remember that it was sort of a process falling asleep. It took a little while. We don't remember that drifting out of sleep, like we woke up early and then we fell back asleep. We don't remember that. So we tend to think of, okay, I think I fell asleep around 11 and then I woke up at 6. Yeah, that's 7 hours. We tend to think, we think we slept that much because we don't take note of times when we're awake. On the flip side, when we are scared, hyper-aroused, you know, the brain, that happens. We are hyper-aroused because our brain thinks that there is some threat. When it comes to insomnia, the idea is that, you know, the confusion or the misunderstanding is that being awake is a threat and being awake is dangerous. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. I think that when we are, the point I want to make is this one, that when our brain thinks we are threatened, it wants us to take action to be safe, and it wants to tell a story of how big the threat is. The brain is not going to be like, oh, this is probably fine, forget about it. It's going to be like, when it feels that we are in a threat, it's going to be like, this is a big problem, you got to do something about it. So that's why I think the brain naturally, it wants to emphasize how little we slept. You know, it wants us to really ponder that. It wants us to be scared so we can take action. But in reality, when insomnia, there is no actual threat. But I think this is why this misperception happens, because it's sort of in the brain's, the brain feels that it supports its agenda. If we think that we slept really, really little, it's going to make us more, like, you know, proactive and do things, you know. So I think that plays a big role into why we have this misperception. So that concludes, you know, Herd Online. I hope this was really helpful to you. And I want to also say this, that, you know, if you're finding everything you need on your path to sleeping well forever here on this channel, in this free content, that is amazing. But if you are still struggling, if you're not really seeing the path clearly, and if you like what we do here, if you like that we take a critical look at scientific articles and incorporate what we can learn from there, together with a really profound understanding of insomnia and, you know, the kind and gentle and effective natto way, then our way is your way. And you are super welcome to head over to our website and see if we have a coaching option that fits you. And if you think so, and if you join, then we look forward to seeing you on the inside. With that said, I wish you the very best of rooting for you and look forward to having you back soon.